Bezras Hashem, B'li Neder. Let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated to Lynch Masavi Moyer of David Sibin of Yosef, as well as the safety of the hostages and the safety of the Chayalim. Today's daf is Bava Metzia daf. What's today's daf? Samach. Anybody want to guess what today's daf is? Really? Samaches. Okay, let's do Samaches. Today's daf, you don't answer that question. Today's daf is daf Samaches. And we left off at the words Amar Rav Ashi on Samaches Amad Aleph, a few lines down, about eight lines down. Amar Rav Ashi. Good morning to Rav Mordechai Chanuch Henoch, Avram Moshe ben Yitzchak Meir HaKohen and Yitzchak Meir HaKohen, and David Yoshua, and Avram David, and Gershon Eitan, and Tzvika back from Eretz Yisrael. Welcome back, Tzvika. Great to see Tzvika. It wasn't the same without you. We're happy to have you here. Good morning, Shlomo David. Good morning. Right on time. Here we go. Amar Rav Ashi, Samaches Amad Aleph. Amruli Sabi de Masa Machasya. The elders of Masa Machasya told me the following halacha. My mashkanta. I'm sorry, I skipped the line. Amravashi. Amruli Sabi de Masa Machasya. The elders of Masa Machasya, who are the elders of Ravashi's city. He lived in Masa Machasya. They told me halacha. Stam mashkanta shata. A regular mashkanta, which is a case of I lend you money and you give me your field as collateral. When can you start throwing me off the field? So usually in our town, the minhag is 1 year. Lamai nafkamina. What's the nafkamina of this halacha? Di achila shata. If the malva eats the fruit of the field for 1 year, matzi misalakle. So only after 1 year, the lova could throw him off the field. Avilo, but if he has not yet eaten 1 year, lo matzi misalakle. He can't throw him off the field. And there's a machlokas we've shown him. Is this talking about... Was this an area that they did usually throw people off the field? Or is this an area that they don't? Some say this is an area that they would throw people off the field, but you can only throw them off after a year. Others say, no, this was an area that you don't throw people off the field. Even if it's an area that you don't throw people off the field, after a year you can throw them off the field. That's machlokas. Rashi and the Ritva had to read this Gemara. But either way, they told him it's a year. And then they told him something else. Next line. V'amar Rav Ashi, second one. Amruli Sabi de Masa Machasya, the elders of Masa Machasya, my town. The rabbis in my town taught me another halacha. Good morning, Dr. Joe. Good morning, Avram Chaim. Good morning, Rav Eliezer Dov. My mashkanta, why do they call this arrangement? Well, I lend you $1,000 and you give me your $1,200 field as collateral. Why do they call it a mashkanta? What's the word mashkanta from? Dishchuna gabe. Mashkanta comes from the word shcheinim. What's shcheinim? Neighbors. That the malva is considered to be the neighbor of this field. What do you mean he's the neighbor of this field? The main nafkamina? Ledina de bar mitzvah. For the famous halach of dina de bar mitzvah. What's the din of dina de bar mitzvah? If I own a field and I want to sell it, the halacha is that the people who own fields right next to my field have first rights of acquisition. I have to give it to them first. Why? Because they have an advantage having two fields next to each other. It's a lot easier to service two fields that are right next to each other. If you're hiring somebody to harvest, so you know he could harvest both of them right next to each other. So they get first rights of purchase. So the chiddush of this case is the malva who lent you the money and now is holding the field as a mashkon, he's considered to be a bar mitzvah. He has first rights to buy the field if he wants to. And as a machlok, as you showed him how to understand this, either it means that he even supersedes the actual people who are next to it, or others say no. Really, the actual people who own fields next to it, they get first. But if the lova sold it to him, the other guys won't be able to take it away from him. Machlokas are shown him. The rush against the Ramban. The rush says the first way. I said the Ramban says the second way. But either way, he has some aspect of Dina de Bar Mitzvah. Amar Rav. Now, Rav is going to summarize a few of the halachas that we learned previously and add in some new ones. Les hilchasa lo kitarshe papunai, velo kishtori mechuznai, velo kichachire narshai. These three cases, some of which we had already, some of which we're going to now see, The halacha is not like any of them. We don't follow any of these three halachas. Not like Tarshe Papunoi, not Shtori Mechuznoi, and not Chachirin Arshoi. So what are each of these cases? So he explains. Ketarshei Papunoi. What does that mean? Ketarshei de Rav Papa. Like the case of Rav Papa that we had. What was the case of Rav Papa that we had in two days ago? Is daf? The case of the beer. That Rav Papa had a minhag, he was a beer salesman. The beer was cheap in Tishrei, expensive in Nisan. He would give it already in Tishrei, but he was selling it at the expensive price in Nisan because he said, listen, it lasts all the way to then anyway. I could easily give it to you then. He didn't need the money. So he would sell it to them at the earlier. But so even though for him it wasn't ribbis because for him it made no difference to sell it in Tishrei and Nisan, he didn't take the money till later. But for the other people, they were getting the beer early and paying for it at a higher price later. So for them, it was eger neter. They were paying more money to be able to keep their money for longer. For him, it didn't make a difference, but for them, it was ribbis. And therefore, Rava says, we don't follow Rav Papa. He's wrong. You can't do that. It's eger neter. That's case one. Two, shtari mechuznoi, what's that? Oh, there were documents in the city of Mechuza. They used to do an iska. Now, Rabosai, the whole second half of today's daf is going to be about iska. We're going to talk all about an iska. Basically, an iska is where you and I go into some kind of partnership. I own the land. I hire you to do the work. You do the work, and we split the profits. But some of those kind of arrangements is ribbis, and some of them are not. So we'll see. In the second half of today's daf. But Shtari Mechuznoi, there was a document that they had this this situation. And basically, it's mutter, but the way they did it in Mechuza was no good. That, let's say, it's a $1,000 field. So I give you the field, but we make an agreement, and presumably you're going to make $200 with the field. But they would write in $1,100 into the loan to begin with. In other words, we're going to split the $200 profit. It's a $1,000 field. We're going to make $200 profit. We'll split the profits. But the problem is the way they did it there is they would just assume it would for sure make $200 and they would write $1,100 into the give back. So when you give it back to me, you have to give back the field for $1,000 plus another $100. So since they would write it, there were some years that it wouldn't make any money. So I gave you $1,000, you gave me back $1,100 without any revach. So that's why you're not allowed to do it that way because it's like an automatic ribbis because some years it wouldn't make any profit. They would include half of the profit into the original amount. Who says there's going to be benefit? Maybe they won't make any money and it'll be just a straight interest deal. So Mar, the son of Amemar, said to Ravashi, listen, my father used to do this. So what about the problem? But he would believe them. If there was no profit, he would write the extra $100 off. He wouldn't pay the extra $100, so it wouldn't be ribbis. So Amalei, so Ravashi said to him, okay, very nice. Your father used to do this. Tenach hechad isli today. That's good while your father's alive. But ishachi, but if your father would die, v'nof al shtara kami asmei mai. But then the document would say 1100. Nobody would know. And your father was an honest guy, but maybe someone wouldn't be honest. They'd collect 1100. It would be ribbis. Says the Gemara, he shouldn't have said that. He shouldn't have said if your father's going to die. You got to be careful. When Tam Chacham speaks like that, you got to be careful. Havi kishkaga sheyotzim ufnei hashalat. It was like an accident that came out from a holy person's mouth, Pasuk in Koheles, v'noch nafshei da'amemar. His father ended up dying. You got to be careful. Don't say, if your father's going to die, it's going to be a problem. He said, if your father's going to die, and guess what? His father died. So you got to be very careful about ayin hara, especially at Talmud Chacham. And what's the third case that we don't follow? Chachirei Narshoi. The minhag they had in the city of Narsh. They would lend, that the Malva would lend poor people money. They would take the poor people's fields as a collateral. And then they would go ahead and take the field and hire the same poor people who were the borrowers. They would hire them to work the field and split the profits. The Kasvi Hachi, Mishkan Lepalnia Ara Lepalnia, the Love is being mamashkein his karka to the Malva. And then he's going to sort of rent it back from him, not really rent it, he'll be like a sharecropper. And it's usher because emas kana da'akne niale. Because the guy doesn't really own it. The Malva doesn't own it. So why are you saying that he's renting it back? He's not really an owner. And therefore, it looks like there's no ownership here. It's just interest. They're just having a deal that he's ending up just in the schus of the fact that the guy was willing to lend me money. So he's willing to make money off the field. Now, so since he's not really an owner of the field, it looks like interest. Says Gemara v'ha'idma, but nowadays, the kokas v'hachi, they would write it slightly differently in Narsh to get out of this ribbit's problem. They would write it in the room because he looks more like an owner. Kanina mine, v'shina kam idin. No. The Malva purchased the field and he had it for 3 years. He had it by him already for 3 years. Then he did the sharecropping deal. So Kadesh Latin Dels Bafne Lovin, in order to encourage people to lend money in this fashion, shepherd dummy, that's okay. So it's really like a sale, it's not really like interest. Says Gemara, Vilav Milsi. However, this is wrong. Gemara says this is still a problem. Just because he had it for 3 years doesn't take away the fact that it looks like interest, and therefore you're not allowed to do such a scenario. Oh, and now for the rest of today's daf, we're going to be speaking about the case of Iska. Okay, what's an Iska? Just by way of introduction, an Iska is where a man gives money to his friend, and the money's good, and the friend is good. This is a classic case, heter iska, right? I mean, you guys probably know about this stuff better than me, but this is the fundamental way that you do a loan, that it shouldn't be ribbis. You know, every business, you know, Jews are lending money to Jews all the time, and they're charging interest. So the way to do it is like you basically become like partners with him in the business, as opposed to just lending him money and just taking back more money. We become partners in the business.
So why would that be?
So let's discuss. So there's different ways. Oh, okay. So I give you money. You're going to use the money to make money. We're going to split the profits. So there's different ways to do it. Now, if the question is, what happens if the business fails? That's the whole story. So if the business fails, who takes the losses? So now, if the entire loss would be on the lender, so then that's pure ribbis. That's pure ribbis. I'm lending you, and you're gonna give me more money back. But if we lose everything, so then that's a pure loan.
But doesn't the guy who's managing it use his expertise? Doesn't that cost, you know?
Let's see. We're gonna talk about that. Let's see. So if the lender takes all the responsibility, that's ribbis. If the borrower, the guy who's gonna be doing the business, takes all the responsibility, so then. Hold on, then no one's going to do such a... I'm sorry, the other way around. Let me get it quick. One second. Here it is. If the entire responsibility is on the borrower, right, that he's going to have to give back all of the... That's a loan. And there... See, if he takes all the responsibility, he might lose everything. So that's a pure loan. And then if they split the profits, it's still going to be ribbis. If the entire responsibility is on the original person, then it's a pikadon. So then it's mamish, my money the whole time. It's not a loan. I'm taking all the responsibility. But no one's going to want to do such a thing because maybe the guy will lose the money. And therefore, the chachamim later on in daf kuf dalet, we're going to learn, the chacham made a takana that every iska should be half loan and half pikadon. And therefore, the responsibility of half of it is on the guy doing the business, the borrower. And he's going to have to pay on that half, even if he loses. And all the profit from that half goes to the guy doing the business. And I have no chelik in your half. And the second half is a pikadon. And it's my responsibility, the balamaman's responsibility. And if it loses, I lose the money. And all the profit from that is my profit. Now, so this doesn't totally get out of the ribbis problem, because sometimes the guy doing the business deal, so he's dealing with half of it. It sounds like he's working my half for free. He's working my half for free because he's not getting any benefit off of my half. So why is he willing to do that? Because I'm giving him the reward on the second half. So that sounds a little bit like ribbis. So the Mishnah and the Gemara is going to discuss under what circumstances you can do such an arrangement and what circumstances you can't. So let's see. Says the Mishnah, Ein moshivin chanvani l'machtis schar. A person is not allowed to give fruit to a storekeeper with an iska and say, you sell them little by little. And after you sell all of it, you'll pay me back for the fruit. And half of the profit you keep, and half of the profit I keep. And if it loses, we also are going to split half of the losses. Because since half of this is a loan, half of this is a loan, because we evaluated the, half of it is a loan, and half of it is a pikadon. And therefore, you are dealing on the pikadon part for me in the schus of the loan. So since you're making money off of a loan, that's interest. And we'll see under what circumstances you could do it. Velo yitain, and Joe, we're going to come to your point in a second. Velo yitain, and similarly, a second case, almost the same thing. Velo yitain ma'os, likach ben peros l'machtes chayim. I'm also not allowed to give you money and tell you, go buy fruit and sell it, and we'll split the profits for the same reason. The only way you can do this type of arrangement is, elem kein, here's the key point, as Dr. Joe said, elem kein nosein lo scharo kipoel. In other words, aside from the arrangement, I have to pay you as a worker for your work. Once I'm paying you as a worker, so then all the interest bets are off, because then it's not just a loan and we're splitting the profits. I'm paying you to do a job. So once I'm paying you to do a job, that takes away all the problem of a loan. I'm just hiring you to do this, this iska, and we're going to split the profits. That's okay. So that's the key point. I got to pay you as a worker. Once I pay you as a worker, so you're a hired worker, and then it takes away the loan problem. Similarly, ein moshim tarna golden lemechza. A person is not allowed to give eggs to his friend. His friend has a chicken, and he has eggs. And he says, listen, I want your chicken to sit on the eggs and hatch them, and you'll raise them, and you'll raise the chicks, and we'll split the profits. It's a big headache. You're going to feed the chicks, and in the merit that I lent you the money, I lent you the chickens, so you're going to pay me back for the chicken and the eggs. Ve'ein shaman hagolim sayochin lemechza. You're not allowed to give to a shepherd young calves or young foals. The foals are like young horses, foals. We're going to evaluate how much they're worth. And you're going to raise them and have them grow older, and then you'll sell them. They'll be good one. And then we'll split the profits. We'll split the profits, or we'll split the losses. Again, this is half loan, half pikadon. So he's dealing with the half of the pikadon and the schar of giving me the loan. LMK, no sin lo schar malo. You have to pay him umizono. You have to pay him for his time and for his hard work and pay for the food. And then it won't be ribis. However, there is a case where you are allowed to do this. If they're very young calves and young foals, you are allowed to take them in a situation where you're not taking the value of the young foals and the young. And the young calves, you're not taking any responsibility. If they die, I'm not paying anything. If they die, I'm not paying anything. And if they live, we'll split. So there's no ribis, because since I'm not taking any responsibility, it's not a loan at all. The whole thing is a pikado. The Gemara is going to discuss under what circumstances that works. How long does a shepherd who's accepting animals have to raise them? What's the minimum? Till they're a third of their full. A minimum of a third of their full growth. V'chamor ad shtei toenes. And a donkey until it could carry something.
But the key for a joint, for Iska is like it says here, the joint venture as opposed to hiring or paying as a salaried wage, because then it's not really an Iska.
Right. If you're paying a salaried wage, so then we're not really purely in business, you're working
for business,
for
your judges.
Correct.
Somebody else.
Correct.
So subordinate to the other one.
Yes. So let's see the Gemara. How much do you have to pay in these kind of scenarios? Tana, kipoel, batel. You have to pay him a salary. How much? So kipoel, batel. Now let's say this guy is used. So the Gemara says, my kipoel, batel. How much is that? You have to pay him. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, kipoel, batel, shel osa malacha de batel mina. Let's say this guy who you're going into business with, usually he's a diamond cutter. And now Now he gets paid a certain salary, but now in order to do this, to deal with the animals, so it's a significantly easier job. It's easier than his usual job. So you have to pay him. How much would a person be willing to take to not get his big salary where he has to work really hard? He's been willing to take a lower salary if he doesn't have to work so hard. So that salary, the Paul Batal may owe some malacha, the Batal Mina, from the malacha that he's missing. Now, Gemara says, the first two cases of the Mishnah, Mamish, sounded like exactly the same thing. Why do we need both of them? Let's review. The first one was, I give a storekeeper fruit, and we split half the profits. And the second one is, I give a guy money to go buy fruit and sell them, like, and we'll split half the profits. So why do we need both cases? So the Gemara assumes that the second one is going to involve a lot harder work than the first one. It says, well, Utsricha, we need both. Ditana Chenvani, guy already has a whole store operating, so it's really not much for him to go sell this. He's got the whole operation running already. Ditana Chenvani, Chenvani who desagile kapol batel. Maybe there it's enough that I just pay him like a pol batel to do this. You don't have to pay him the whole full value of the work. Mishum delon afish terche, it's not so much bother for him. He's already got a whole operation running. Aval, ma'os, likach ben peres, but to hire a guy to go find, to go buy fruit and go sell the fruit, that's a whole asik, the nafesh tercha, it's a lot of tercha. Ema lo sagalik a paul batel. Maybe paying him as a paul batel is not enough. I got to pay him more. Ve'itana, ma'os, likach ben peres. And in fact, the second case where it's harder, having mina hasmu de baik paul batel, maybe there you got to pay him so much like a paul batel, mishum de nafesh tercha, it's a lot of work. Aval chenvani, but in case of a storekeeper, it's not so much work. Then maybe you don't even have to pay him kapal batel. Maybe it's just okay to give him like a dollar, give him some symbolic amount of money. Even if you let him dip his bread in your brine, he got a little brine from you. So you gave him one dried fig. Maybe that's enough. But the answer is no. By both, you need a paul batel, tzricha. That's why I need both cases. And now, the Gemara is going to present four disputes about different types of iska. Four disputes about different types of iska that will be explained in the following braises. So the Gemara has a siman for this. Kama, ize, v'tarnagolin, malin, siman. Those are the four cases. Kama, ize, this was a way of remembering. Don't forget, the Gemara was originally by heart. Was Baal Pesa, they needed these simanim to try to remember the four cases. So, Kama, is that what it says? My glasses are dirty? Or my eyesight is failing? Kama, Ize, Ritana, Golem, Malin, Simon. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. So, the first price that discusses the Machlokis, how much do you have to pay a guy who's working for you in this Iska business in order that it should not be Ribbis? Again, why is this thing viewed as Ribbis? Because even if we split half and half, so you're willing to work on my half because I loaned you your half. So it's viewed as if I'm getting back the profits on my loan that I lent you. That's the way it's viewed. So says the Gemara. How much do you have to pay the guy? Kamu scharo, three opinions. Bein meruba, bein muat. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, as long as you set the value from the beginning of what it is, whether it's a lot or a little, since it's a set price, a set value, no matter what happens, so then we view it as he's doing it for the payment, for his salary, and not because of the loan. He's doing it for the salary. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, even a little bit. Afilu lo tavali mo'al betzir. Rabbi Yehuda says, firstly, you don't have to set it from the beginning, even if he just dips his bread into your brine. Mamish amashu, v'lo achli mo'al grogos achas, or one fig. He mamish gave him one fig, a tiny amount. That's enough. It's not viewed as ribbis. Rabbi Shimon Yochai is more strict. Rabbi Shimon Yochai Omer, notin lo scharo mishalin, kapol batel. You have to pay him like a pol batel, the full poel batel price. He's the most strict. And now the Gemara is going to bring a brisa, which is going to discuss with what types of animals do you have to pay for the food and for your hard work. So, says the Gemara, now we learned earlier that it's usur to give an animal to your friend as a certain monetary value for them to raise the animal and you're going to split the hefsedim unless you pay him schar amala umezonim. Now, that's all by animals that don't actually produce money on their own. You're just going to sell, you're just going to raise the animal and sell it at a higher price. But if the animal provides you for benefit on the way, so then that counts, the Gemara says. Oh, so Tana Rabbanan, Ein Shamin, I'm not allowed to give $1,000 animal to you and we say you're going to give me back a $1,200 animal, you're going to raise it. Ein Nosnif, Ein Shamin, Lo Asa Izim, V'lo Asa Rechem, V'lo Kol Davar She'Eino Osa V'Ochel. So goats or ewes, right, E-W-E, a female sheep that produces a lot of, we'll see in a minute, a lot of wool. Below called davar she'eino osev ochel, anything that doesn't do work, lemechza, to split the halves, unless you give him, like we said before, schar amalo umizono. However, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Hudomer, no. Shaman esa izim. You're allowed to do this with goats. Why? You can just milk them and you'll get the milk. And the milk is your, all along the way, every day you have it, you're going to get milk from it. So that's your payment. Vasar Chalim, are you? EWE? Mipnesha goes as os, Vishotfos and Martos. You can take all the wool. You can shear the wool off this thing, keeps on growing wool. That's your payment. Vasatanagolas, and a chicken, Mipnesha he osa ochelas. A chicken lays eggs. So you can benefit from the eggs. So you don't have to pay these guys. Just they get the payment is the fact that they're going to get all the stuff out of these things. That's the payment. So it's not ribbis. Ah, what's the root of the dispute here? Says the Gemara, what are they arguing about? Tanakama, ask the Gemara of a Tanakama, Giza v'chal of lo sipik v'schar amalo mazono. The Tanakama holds what? That the shearings and the milk is not enough for the payment? Why is that not enough? Says the Gemara, the Giza, the Chalav, Gemara says, no, you're right. If there's actual real shearings from this animal and milk from the goats, there's goat milk. If the owner of the animal agrees that the shepherd gets all of the shearings and all of the milk for himself, Kuli Amalo plea. No, there's no machlogs about that. That's certainly enough payment for the guy. That's fine payment. Ki pligi. No, he's only allowed to take the leftovers from the milk. Ki pligi bin nisyuvi. Right, apparently, curds and whey. Well, nisyuvi, I don't know if we have English here. It's either curds or whey, one of them. I think the curds. Ki pligi bin nisyuvi.
The whey,
okay. I knew it was either the curds or the whey, one of them, right? Little Miss Muffet sat on her tuffet eating her curds and whey. No, am I dating myself there? Anybody remember that? Anybody on the Zoom remember that? Apparently, curds and whey equals milk. It was just a funny way of saying milk. Because curds plus whey is milk, but the curds alone or the whey alone, that's the two parts of the milk. One of them they take and make cheese out of, apparently.
Cheese byproducts,
thank you. Kipligi binisyube. If the deal was he's only getting the whey, not the curds, that's only half the milk. So that's significant. That's the machlokes. Or vitosre, or the leftover wool. He doesn't get the regular wool, he gets the wool that falls off when you wash it. So Tanakam Savarlaka Reb Shimon Yochai. Tanakam holds like Reb Shimon Yochai, you need more money. That's not enough. So Tanakam says that's not good enough. Reb Shimon Yochai had the strict opinion. Dharma noslan schor mishalim. You need the full kippol batel. So if you got all the milk and all the wool, that would be enough. But this deal is not good enough. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda savar la kavua. He holds like his father Rabbi Yehuda. Dharmar afilu lo tavli malo b'tzir. He even just dipped his bread in the tzir. That's enough. V'lachem el grogos achas zeus schara. That's enough. So just like it's enough to just dip the bread in the brine. Or even one fig is enough. So even if you give him the whey without the curds or the leftover wool, that's good enough as well. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. Our rabbis taught in Nebraisa. Maskeres isha l'chaverta tarnagolas b'shnei afrochim. Let's say if we do this deal with a chicken. A woman has a chicken. And her friend has some eggs. So they say, here, you give me the eggs. And I'll take my chicken and have them sit on the eggs. And I'll have the sit on the eggs and raise chicks. And I will take two chicks per year as my payment. So she's allowed to do that. She's getting a payment. It's not a loan. This is like a rental. She's renting the chicken to use it. And there's no responsibility for the eggs. So there's no ribbis in such a case. She's getting paid two chicks per year. However, Isha Shamil Chaverta, Tarnagolas Shali, Ubeitzim shalichi. It's almost the same deal, but they say it differently. My chickens and your eggs. And I will raise the chicks. Va'ani va'at nachlok be'efrochim. We'll split the efrochim. In such a case, we're splitting that. Since it's not like I'm paying you two chicks a year. Here, we're splitting the profits. Now, it sounds like if they lose, I'm going to lose half and you're going to lose half. So this is a problem. So let's see. Rabbi Yehuda Matir. Rabbi Yehuda says you can do this. Rabbi Shimon Oser. Rabbi Shimon says Oser. Says the Gemara. For Rabbi Yehuda, lo bai schar malo mazono. Like, what happened? What happened to schar malo mazono? Didn't Rabbi Yehuda say that you got to pay something? Even a little bit? Answer the Gemara. Yeah, there is a little bit here. Ika beitzim muzaros. No, the eggs that don't get impregnated, the ones that can't raise a chick, all of those belong to the owner of the chicken. So that's her payment. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, oh, that's enough. This is Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso, that even if you get a little bit, it's worth something. It's a davar mu'at. And Rabbi Shimon, who asers, that's who's the Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That's Rabbi Shimon. He's the one who said you need more. So Beitz and Muzaros is not enough. Tanu Rabbanu. Mokum shnogu lahalos schar ketef lemaos lebehema. In a place where the minig is to pay also more money for the schar of lugging the animal around from place to place. If a guy gives over calves or foals to his friend worth money that they're going to split the profits, so he has to also give him money for the schar that he's got to schlep the animal on his shoulder. That's schar ketef. So Malid, he's got to obviously give this money. Vein Mishan Minigam Medina, you have to pay that money. Reb Shem Gamliel Omer, well, if the mom goes along, you don't have to pay that. Shaman Egel Im Imo, Usiach Im Imo, if he gives the calves together with the mommy cow, and the foals together with the mommy horse, then you don't got to pay the schar of schlepping it around. Why? Because the mommy does the schlepping for you, meaning wherever the mommy goes, the kid goes. So once you can lead the mommy, you don't have to schlep the kid. You know, just lead the mommy, the kid will go along with it. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, you don't have to pay that. And even in a place where the minig is to pay the schar kesef, the schar for schlepping it around, you don't have to do that. The Gemara explains this machlokas. The Rabbi Shimon Gamliel lo bai schar amalom mazono. Really, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds you don't have to pay the schar amalom mazono. What do you mean? Even though it usually follows the mom, so you don't have to give the schar for the carrying it. But a lot of times you do have to schlep it around, even if the mom is not going to be around. So how can you have to pay anything? Says the Gemara, no, ikka galalim. But the guy who deals with it gets to keep the fertilizer, the manure, the feces that the animal gives. So he holds that that's enough. Says the Gemara, v'idach, how come Tanakama doesn't think that's enough? Galalam afkurim afkiluna, the manure, that doesn't do anything for the person. He makes it hefker, that's not really worth anything. The owner of the animal is going to make it hefker, and therefore their das is not on them, and therefore the fact that the shepherd is going to take the galalim, that's not considered to be a payment for his tercha. He's zachem in a hefker, and therefore he has to give him the schar ketef, the schar for carrying it around. And now Rav Nachman is going to paskin like all three of the last machloksin that we discussed. Amar Rav Nachman halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Remember the machlokas Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai about how much by an iska do you have to pay? So you don't have to set the price from the beginning like Rabbi Meir, and you don't have to pay him the full schar batel, like kippol batel. You just give him a mashu, even if he just dips his bread in your brine, or he pays you one fig, that's enough to get rid of the ribbis problem. The halacha k'Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yosef said, even if you just get the whey, not the curds, or you're just getting the leftover wool, that's enough. Similar psak. And halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that if the deal is for calves together with the mommy cow and the foals together with the mommy horse, you don't have to pay the schar ketef because it's enough that you get the feces, you get the schar glolim, as we explained. And finally, last case of today's daf. B'nei Rav, well, we're going to stop this case in the middle, but we'll try to start it. B'nei Rav Ilish, after their father Rav Ilish passed away, the sons of Rav Ilish, Nafak Alayu, Ahu Shtarad Aviksiv Be Palgab Eger Palgab Hefsid. So there was a document that came out about them that a person had a deal with his father. A person produced a document that said he gave Rav Ilish money, and Rav Ilish had an iska with him, and they were going to split half the profits. And if there would be a loss, they would split half the losses. So this guy wanted the orphans of Rav Ilish to have the same deal. We have a deal, and we're going to have to split the profits. Now, it didn't mention anything that they were going to pay Rav Ilish any money for this. So they came in front of Rav. Amar Rav. Rav Ilish gabar Rabu. Rav Ilish was a big Talmid Chacham. He's not going to go into something that's going to be asur. You assume a rabbi is not going to do something that's going to be asur. The isur al inshallah is something. He's not going to go into something that has an isur, so it can't be as it's written in this shtar. Must be that they were also going to give him a little something on the side. So it must be manavshach. So e palga be'eger trade till sebehefsed. It must have been if there was half. If the deal was half for the rewards, he was going to have to take 2/3 of the loss. Or, if it's half the loss, trade till say bagger, it's got to be 2/3 of the profit. It can't be a half and half deal because then it would have been ribbis. Okay, Rabosai, we'll finish this case, Bez Hashem, tomorrow. Everyone should have a wonderful day. 1 week left of Ezu Neshech, Rabosai, 1 week left.
Yes, the horn. Lots of fun. So this is a printer's work.